Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to begin a new series tonight, and I am going to start a series about the topic of faith, and I am excited about this. Now, this is one of those sermons that I need you, boy, this is a scary statement, I need your mind tonight. And this isn't one of those cases of mind over matter. You don't have a mind, it doesn't matter. I really need to have your minds tonight. I need you yielded to listen tonight very carefully. But I'm going to take a part of something, and we're going to start at the very, very, very beginning and help you. That's okay, folks. We're learning. Hang in there. I can talk louder than he can because I got a microphone. Amen. He might give me a run for my money for a while, but we'll get there, all right? Now, I do want you to listen, though, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses. I'm going to read fairly quickly, so I want you to help me here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, look at me. Keep your Bibles open. We are going to stay here and jump around a little bit tonight. I want to begin a journey on the topic of faith. I know there is no way as a human being that I could do it justice. But I think over the next several months on Wednesday nights, you're going to gain some strength, some understanding, some knowledge, not so that you can say, look how smart I am, not me, but you, but so that you can say, I understand God a little better, I understand the Christian life a little better, and I understand my place a little better. I want your life to be enriched with this truth in a way that you can just not even imagine. Now, I want to say this. I am not teaching any new truth. There is no such thing as new truth. All right? Everybody know what a jeweler's loop is? You know, that little magnifying glass he puts in his eye to look at a jewel. I want to kind of put a jeweler's loop in your eye as we examine the Word of God tonight and in weeks to come. And we're going to shine the light of the Word of God on itself, on this truth. Look at me now. And as you see it, you're going to see the different hues and the different facets of the topic of faith. Now, if you don't get anything, you need to get this. I want to start by saying this. Faith and belief are not the same thing. Almost every definition you look up, it says faith means believe. And that is not true. Everybody's going, okay, you just lost me. No. When looking at faith, believe is not the same. You see, most secular definitions contain or include the word belief as a definition. Why don't we let God define his words for us? So many times we trust the dictionary over the word of God. I trust the word of God. Yes. Say, what study books have you been researching, preacher? That one. Amen. That's it. We'll let scripture interpret scripture for us. Now, God, by the way, take your Bible, turn to James chapter 2. Just a few pages over from where you're at, James chapter 2. And we'll come back to this passage, so you might stick your finger in there, but I'm going to read the first few verses of a passage here. Start in verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Watch this. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Ooh. That proves belief and faith are not the same thing. The devils don't have faith. They have belief, but they don't have faith. Everybody see that? Okay. So I just want you to know I'm not teaching you false doctrine here. And not let me help you here. Ooh, that didn't come out right. Let me help you tonight. Moving on. God tells us that, look at Hebrews 11:1 again. Faith is the substance. Now, if you mark in your Bible, I want you to circle or underline that word substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, look at me. Faith is a substance. It is not a circumstance. It's not a happening. The word substance literally means material. This pulpit is made out of wood. It's made out of a real substance. This glass that holds water in is made out of real substance. Everybody understand that? Okay. Faith is a substance. It's something tangible. It's something real. It's something that is making up something else. Now, faith is not this mysterical, spooky, roll your eyes in the back of your head kind of thing. It's an actual substance. It is real, physical matter. It's not wild chaos and living foolishly or blinding, hoping or believing God will do something that he's not bound in the word of God to do. That is not faith. If I say, well, I've got faith that if I throw my keys up in the air, they're going to levitate. Oh, I just lost my faith. No, that's not faith. That's foolish. God's laws already told us they're not going to levitate. Okay? Hang on. So I don't forget my keys later. Faith is not some, I'm going to borrow a term, blind leap into nothingness, hoping God will rescue you. Faith is a substance. God said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, again, faith is not belief. By the way, faith is not hopefulness. We're going somewhere. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Faith is not hope. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to look at the last verse, number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Notice there's a list And there's faith, there is hope, and there is charity. That means faith and hope cannot be the same thing. Everybody see that? Okay. So what then is faith? That is the topic of the lesson tonight. What is faith? Let's put the jar on the bottom shelf so we can all understand it here. I have, I think, 3 points that I'm going to give you and that will help you if you listen. Number one, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We saw in Hebrews chapter 11, it is the tangible physical matter, physical makeup of something that you hope for. Now, when you hope for something, everybody listen to this statement. When you hope for something, it is due to one of two things, basically. Either you have a need or you have a desire. Oh, I hope I get this for Christmas. What is that? You want something. Okay, that's a desire. Or you got more month than you got paycheck, and oh God, I hope I can pay all the bills. That's a need. Y'all understand? Have you ever been there before? Okay. So faith is that substance that makes up hope. Ah. Watch this. That means faith is a need or a desire that you cannot fill on your own. One of the definitions of faith is this. It is a need or a desire that you cannot fill on your own. Everybody see that? Now watch. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to show you what God says about faith. Now, we have three different parts to the definition of faith. Hang in there, but they're all related. Matthew chapter 8, let's look at verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now notice, he said, I have not seen so great faith anywhere before. Now, verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob into the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now look at me, if you will. Here is a servant, or here is a leader who had a servant, the Bible says, that was grievously tormented in sickness, in pain. That word grievously tormented means he was at the point of death. He was so sick, he was about to die. And Jesus said, well, let's go and I'll go heal him. And the centurion said, look, I'm a leader. Number one, I don't need you coming to my house. Number two, this guy's pretty bad off. I need you to get him healed right now. He might not last till we get there. The need was very great. And he needed God. He wanted God to heal that servant of his and relieve that. So it was the need that necessitated it. He could not do it himself. And Jesus said, wow, he doesn't even want me to show up. He knows I can heal him from right here. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So it was the greatness of the need that was the bigness of the faith. Now, watch this. Faith is not blind belief. It is a need or desire basing trust in a truth that God can or God will meet it. I want you to notice something. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, where we started. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence, it's a big word. That's a legal term. If you were going to a court of law, your attorney would be gathering evidence for your case. He would be garnering truth, garnering facts, garnering all of the circumstances around it to prove your side of the story. But there would have to be tangible proof. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things you don't even see. Look at verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God said he spoke the world into existence. And God said, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, Genesis chapter 1. God spoke, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, Genesis chapter 1. What was he doing? He was speaking by the words of God the worlds into creation, and it wasn't made out of something else. It was made from nothing. Everybody look at me for just a moment. Listen to this very carefully. Man is too impressed with himself. We say we can create life in a test tube. That is not true. We cannot create life in a test tube. We can generate life in a test tube. Creating life means you empty the test tube and say, okay, there's life. You have to borrow the components to make life in a test tube. God didn't borrow the components. He spoke it into existence. Everybody see that? So it was the faith and the evidence of things not seen. Now, here we go. Faith, number 2, requires action. It is a need or a desire that you cannot fill, but it also is something that moves you to action. Take your Bible, turn back to James chapter 2, just a few pages over from where you should be in Hebrews 11 there. James chapter 2, we're going to go back to where we were before, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not, what's the next word? It is dead, being alone. Wow. Listen to this statement. Faith without works is dead. When you say, oh, I believe God's going to heal me, and God does not choose to heal you on this earth, was God not invoking your faith? Wait a minute. He did heal you if you died and you went to heaven. Faith without works is dead. Saying, well, I'm sick. I'm just going to trust God to heal me. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm not going to take care of myself. I'll just live however I want and God take care of the rest. That's faith without works. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. Verse 19. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon an altar? By the way, I'm going to come back to this. His eternity was not saved. You're not saved by works. I'll show you that in a moment. Verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, let's skip down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, faith requires action. Oh, I'm sick. I'm just going to believe God. I got faith. God's going to heal me. I'm not going to go to no doctor. I'm not going to eat right. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do it this way because I've got faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. See, God gave us specific guidelines to follow with our faith. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. We do not get saved by works. It's not salvation by grace through works. But I want to show you something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Okay. Remember I said faith is either a great desire or a great need? Do you know you can't get saved till you know you have a great need to be saved? Until you realize you can't get there on your own, you don't have the faith to get saved. God's given to every man the measure of faith. Hebrews chapter 13. God hath put into every man the measure of faith necessary to point him to know he's a sinner condemned by God. That's why everybody wants to do their own works to get saved. Do you know it's hard to find somebody that won't admit they're a sinner? In all my years of soul winning, I only had one person tell me that they weren't a sinner. And Brother Jimbo, as soon as they did that, I went to the book of 1 John and said, if a man say he hath not sinned, he's a liar. I said, there's your first one. They said, oh, okay. One time in 35 years of soul winning, somebody said they weren't a sinner. Say why? God has given to every man the measure of faith. Everybody knows they're a sinner. Everybody. And that is that need that we act on. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. After you initiate that, you get saved. God says, now let me start cleaning you up and start working on you. But you're not saved by works. By the way, faith without works is dead. Listen to this. A man who knows he's a sinner, but does not do anything about it, his faith without works is dead. What is the works? Trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. The finished work of Calvary, the work of Jesus Christ imputed to his righteousness is what generates eternal life, according to James chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and on and on and on and on and on and on we could go. If you notice through Hebrews chapter 11, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, I'm only going to list some names here. And then I'm going to show you what God says about faith with works. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and the list goes on. That's only through about the first half of the chapter. Every one of those people, God said, by faith, this person did something. You know what it was? In time of great opposition, in time of great need. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Doom's coming, dude. Go build a boat. Take you 120 years and save the human race for me. Preach for 120 years, and he only had 7 converts. His wife, 3 children, and their spouses. That's it. Now, all had a need that moved them to action. They could not meet the need on their own, but they could move as far as they could go and let God do the rest. Faith keeps you moving when you cannot see the end. Faith keeps you moving when you cannot see the way out. Faith keeps you going when you don't feel you can go any farther. Faith is what keeps you on that track of going when it doesn't look very good. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith requires action. And number 3, now I'm about to shout. Are you ready? Faith is also a set of absolutes or values or principles by which life is ruled. There is something called in Scripture the faith. We'll get to that in a second here. That is that premise, that set of values, the set of principles, the set of absolutes by which your life is to be ruled. It makes up something called the faith. Okay, everybody understand that? Because you have to understand the word is used in different ways. It's used sometimes as a noun. Sometimes it's used as an adjective. Sometimes it's used even as a verb. It can be used in many different ways. Therefore, the definition changes slightly with it. Now, take your Bible. We're going to look at three different things here that I think will excite you. And if it doesn't, shout anyway, because it'll take 5 minutes off the sermon. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Ooh. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is a byproduct of hearing the word of God. Let me show you what I mean. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. By the way, evolution opposes faith. Yes, sir. That's right. Evolution opposes God. Evolution says, no, God did not speak in eons past and billions of years ago. All of the nuclei and dust and space dust started spinning, and there was a cataclysmic explosion. And all the stars and all the different universes were spun into place and were flinging through this vastness of space. And only one out of all the billions of stars, planets, suns, moons, and everything else, only one of them construed in such a way to where water formed and land formed and life was able to form over millions and millions and millions of years. And they say it takes faith to believe Christianity? Those guys are idiots. Yes, by the way, let's quit believing science over God. All science is proved by the word of God. That's why it's called the theory of evolution, not the science of evolution. Okay? So it says here, though, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, and God said, and God said. Well, if God said it, he was speaking words, and it was by the words of God that the world was created and the worlds and the universes were framed. Everybody see that? Amen. Okay, hang on here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, just the next page. Here's where I'm about to shout. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me ask you a question. If you author something, what do you do with it? You have to do what? You have to write it. It's words. Jesus is the author of our faith. What is our faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, this is where it all comes back together. It's in my Bible somewhere. Verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, proper noun, the author of the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only did Jesus author our faith, he is the Word of God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, that when he comes back one day, written on his vesture will be his name, the Word of God. King James Bible for us in English, amen? Can I tell you something? Your faith has to be based on that book, or it's not faith. That's right. Now, when we taught on the Holy Spirit, I taught a whole lesson on this, but the Holy Spirit can never act outside or in contrast to the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God, because the Word of God is our faith. Everybody understand that? By the way, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, faith is a byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. It is a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You don't get saved apart from the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit moves inside you, guides you through the Word of God, and that gives you your faith to become strengthened in you. Man, that's good stuff. Faith is that foundation that holds you up. Somebody said to me recently, boy, you're strong in your faith. I said, yep. They said, how did you get so strong? I said, because I got a strong God. And he gave me every word that I needed to give me the confidence to keep on going. Whether I see the end or not, I know what the end is. I read the last chapter. I know where we're ending up. I know how to get there because he gave me the road map out. Amen. That's it. Oh, you have a lot of hope. No, I've got a lot of faith. I'm going to make a statement that might shock you. Hope without faith leads to bitterness or depression. Hope without faith leads to bitterness and depression. Well, I hope I get this. But you don't act on your faith, and when you don't get it, you're depressed or you get bitter. Now watch this. Faith without hope is foolishness. Faith without hope is foolishness. Okay, I know this story. I know who it is. I would never tell you who. You wouldn't know who it was anyway. But I know a lady who counseled with her pastor and said, "Will you pray for me? God's called me to go to the mission field. He called me a long time ago to the mission field. I didn't go, and it's time for me to go." And her pastor said, "Aren't you married?" "Yes." "Well, what does your husband think?" "Oh, he's going to stay here with our 6 kids. He doesn't want to go." That's faith without hope. That's foolish. "Well, I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to pay my mortgage payment, and I'm going to give the rest of that to God for missions." Faith without hope is foolish. Folks, pay your bills. Pay your bills. Don't expect the mortgage company to live by your faith. You're asking the mortgage company to live by faith. You're not living by faith. And that's faith without hope, and that's foolish. Now, I have so much I want to say. I'm going to finish. Take your Bible, turn to Jude, which is just one page before the book of Revelation. And I'm going to conclude, and show you the launching point for the rest of the series. It's chapter 1, by the way, just for those of you that didn't know. Jude, verse number 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Watch this. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before old ordained." Look at that word, ordained. What do you do to a minister, a preacher? Huh? This is talking about religious people. "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at me. The Bible says we're to earnestly contend for the faith. That is a boxing term. A prize fighter, a contention fighter. Somebody who is in battle in boxing. God said we're to put up our dukes and fight for the faith. We're to battle for the faith. Because there are people, by the way, religious people, who have crept in unaware and have changed the faith. They've turned the righteousness of God, the Bible says, into lasciviousness. This is your mainline denominationalism. These are people who don't believe the Word of God. These are people who say, "Well, we don't have the originals, and only the original Bible was inspired by God." Do you know there was never an original total copy of the Word of God? Because it was comprised over 4,000 years. Anybody who tells you that only the originals are inspired is messing with the faith, because God said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. They're messing with the Holy Spirit, they're messing with Jesus, and they're messing with the faith. If they mess with salvation, they're messing with the faith. God said we're to fight that. You say, well, I don't like how sometimes you mention certain things or certain people, or you might even allude. Now, sometimes I don't know that I'm treeing that coon, but if I am, here we go. I am defending the faith. My job as your pastor of this church is to defend the faith. Defend it. Fight for it. Show you what it is so you can go out there and do battle against those who are teaching bad doctrine. Show them the way of salvation. Get them saved. Get them out on the streets. Get them soul winning. Isn't that what it's all about? Folks, did you know that even lost people know they're lost? That they're sinners? Well, I'm hoping to get to heaven. I hope my good outweighs the bad. Huh, faith without works is dead. Huh. See, religion has perverted the faith. This is not a new statement to you. Just because the sign out front says Baptist doesn't mean what's going on inside is right. Just because it used to be a decent organization and even right doctrinally doesn't mean it is today. Well, Dr. So-and-so, I knew him 20 years ago. Yeah, and I know where he's been in the last 10 years. Know what he's been saying in the last 10 years, and I wouldn't touch him with a 20-foot pole. Well, I don't care what he used to be. What is he now? I'm going to use a name. Get ready. Do you know that Billy Graham used to be a fundamental preacher? Did you know that Billy Graham used to be on the board of directors for the Sword of the Lord with John R. Rice? And in the 1950s, he and John Rice had a parting of ways because Billy Graham decided it would be okay to hook up with the Pentecostals, the Nazarenes, the Lutherans, and the Catholics with his citywide campaigns. Let them do the follow-up. And John Rice said, that's not right. That's not scriptural. And either you change your ways or you need to resign. He said, I'll resign and I'll go my direction. By the way, the next man to take his place was a man named Jack Hiles. Huh. But by the way, now the Sword of the Lord has turned the direction of Billy Graham. All the old men have passed off the scenes, and everybody that got influenced by that borderline crowd has now crept in unaware. I'm not going to a sword conference. Brother Hiles quit preaching for the sword many years before he passed away on purpose. They had changed. I love Curtis Hudson. I think if Curtis Hudson were alive, he'd be throwing a holy fit right now. I really do. Say why? They've all changed. Do you know I remember churches that used to be in the BBF, Baptist Bible Fellowship? Used to be decent churches. You know, you can't hardly find a BBF church that's worth even walking into. BBF was started by G.B. Vick. G.B. Vick and J. Frank Norris had a falling out. Did you know that John Rice and J. Frank Norris didn't get along real well? Now, both of them kept their doctrines, but those that followed, not all of them did. I hate to tell you, I'm going to fight for the faith. And I don't care whose name's attached to it. I don't. And when you start playing with the Word of God, you start messing with the faith. We're going to contend for the faith. I'm going to show you what makes up the faith. I'm going to show you what faith is all about. I'll show you how your faith will work. Tonight was the foundation for it. It's a little different. But we took that old jeweler's loop out and we put it up on our eye and we started looking at it and we saw the first facet tonight. Oh, can I tell you something? There's a whole bunch more little facets on that thing. They're going to make it sparkle and be pretty and give you some enhancement that you never thought you could ever have. Let me tell you, faith. What a wonderful thing God gave us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me make it very, very clear. You are not saved by any works. Saving faith is that need or desire in man to show him his need of salvation and accept the works of righteousness which Jesus did for them. It has nothing to do with your own works. Jesus took care of your works for salvation. You just by grace accept it and you trust it.